Chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. I don't have mine marked, so I can take my time finding it too. You know, I used to get aggravated at being in church and the preacher say, turn to Genesis, whatever, and by the time I got there, he's already in somewhere else. I'm still looking. All right. Before we read, let me do this now. John and Nancy had been married 40 years, and they planned a second wedding to renew their vows. Matter of fact, I think it was actually, I think it might have been Stephen. I'm not sure here. Y'all too. I'm not sure. Look. So Nancy described to her friend the dress she would wear. Nancy's friend asked, what color shoes? She replied, silver. Stephen chimed in and said, yep, silver to match her hair. So then Frankie pointed back to John's head and said, so I guess you're going to be going barefoot, right? Y'all get it in a minute. Some of y'all got it. Amen. God is good. God is fair. To some he gave brains. To the other he gave hair. Stephen taught me that. Okay. Spiritual warfare. Are you ready for battle? Again, I really wanted to start on Memorial Day today, but the way things are working out, I better keep on here. And let me just ask you a question, because I already told you that because we're doing this, your warfare, at least in the beginning, is liable to step up a little bit. Anybody felt a little increase of battle? Anybody felt a little step up of the enemy? You know, I feel it. I see it. But you know what? He's still a loser. Amen? He is a loser. So next week, we're going to talk about Memorial Day. We're talking about the blood of Christ. So get your Bible, turn to Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, taking you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand. Look at somebody and say, you've done everything you can to stand, stand. Tell them, stand. Amen. Father, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for what you've already done today, God. We thank you, Lord, for your power and your anointing. We thank you, God, that we're not here alone, God, that we've got you here with us. And, Lord, we know, God, that you're working miracles in our midst. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch, to anoint, to have your will and your way in our lives, God. Help us, Lord, to know what we're doing and to know who we're fighting and know why we're fighting. And help us, God, to overcome through your power and your blood and your authority. In the name of Jesus, we love you. And we praise your name. And the church said, amen. You can be seated on the way down. Tell somebody, the past is behind us. The future is ahead of us. God is with us. And nothing shall be impossible. Give the Lord another hand clap of praise. Now, last week, we started on something very, very, very powerful. Matter of fact, probably one of the most powerful messages we've had in quite a while, because what we're doing is we are exposing the enemy of your soul. We are exposing what Satan is trying to do to you. And the way we're doing it is because God doesn't just give people names because he looked in a baby book and thought that was a good name. It's a good year for David. It's a good year for whatever. God names his people according to their characteristics and also actions that they may handle. Moses means drawn out. He was drawn out of the Nile. Abraham was the father of many nations. And Sarah, the mother, look, she's a mother of many, and Eve, the mother of all. And so you got to look at all this stuff, and you will see that God doesn't mix words. He doesn't mix or mince his words. And so when you look at the devil, we looked at, so far, about half of the words.
that God uses to name the devil. So I'm just going to quickly, for those that were not here, I'm going to hit this real quick, and then we're going right into today. He says, occupy till I come. And occupy does not mean take up space. It does not mean to just, it does mean to take a stance and be productive. Amen. To be productive. If you woke up tonight and your house was on fire, would you look over at your wife and say, honey, but your house is on fire. Can you take care of it? Would you go wake your kids up and say, y'all handle it. Me and Dad, we're really tired. No, you take care of business the same way. Take a stance, be productive, and take back lost ground, or to take back stuff that Satan has already stolen. Look at somebody and say, take it back. Look at somebody else and say, take it back. Oh, come on, take it back. We want it. We want it. Satan, we want it. Take it back. Amen. So, let's go a little bit further in this thing. The Lord is with you like a mighty warrior. This means war. There's a war raging even now. It's a terrible war of extreme proportions. We can reject it, which is what the world is doing right now. Or we can rename it, which is what a lot of the politicians do on both sides. They just rename things. It's still the same stuff, but they just rename it. They take a poison pump and they paint it and say, hey, I took care of business. It's still got poison in it. Or we can resist it, or we can recognize it, and we can do something about it. Amen? So here's the words from last week, real quick. First off, he desires to deceive you, to divide you and your family, deceive your family, divide your family, destroy your family, dominate your family. He wants to deceive your mind. He wants to divide your mind. He wants to destroy your mind, and he wants to dominate you. You know, we talk about zombies, you know, over down in South America, all these zombies that are going around. Supposedly, they've been injected or they've been bit by another zombie, and now they've lost their mind, and now they're dominated. They've lost their mind. They're just going around, however, just trying to kill, steal, and to destroy. That's what Satan wants us to do, and there's a lot of zombies in the world today. Maybe not the ones in South America, but there's some that walk around and have no idea what's going on. They're just following what everybody else is doing. It's time for us not to follow what everybody else is doing. Listen carefully. Don't think Satan is a harmless cartoon character with a red suit and a pitchfork. He's very clever. He's very powerful. And his unchanging purpose is to defeat God's plan at every turn, including his plans, God's plans for your life, for your life. Satan wants to destroy God's plan for your life. And of course, there's that great man there, Billy Graham. That was a direct quote from Billy Graham. Let your faith roar so loud that you can't hear what doubt is saying. So here it is, the first words we talked about last week. Adversary, roaring lion, angel of light. I'm not going to go back into those words. There is one I really want to hit, and that's devil, which is diablos. Dia, meaning through or to penetrate, and balo, meaning to throw. And that is exactly what Satan does to us. He's probably done it this morning on your way to church. He might even be doing it now. He just throws it at you, and throws it at you, and throws it at you, until he penetrates your heart. Till it penetrates your mind and you give in. Well, so remember this. When he first starts, when he's coming at you, he's your tempter. But once he penetrates that wall, now he becomes your accuser. Think about it. He's your tempter as long as he's popping you with it. But once the wall's penetrated, now he becomes your accuser. So watch this. It's used 40 times in the New Testament. Satan, the word Satan is accuser, and it's shantana, which is to hate or to accuse. He's used that 50 times. It's used 50 times in the Old Testament and the New Testament. So now let's go ahead and start today, or one more from last week, and then we'll start today. And that was Abaddon, which is Hebrew, Apollyon, which is Greek, which means destruction or destroyer. Both of these names are found in Revelation chapter 9,
verse 11, the angel of the bottomless pit. But John 10:10 really tells what the destroyer is trying to do. The Bible says that Satan desires to steal. That word steal in the Greek is klepto, which means somebody that steals for the fun of it. Steals because they have to do this. They get a rush when they steal. They get a rush when they go take things that don't belong to them. It don't matter. They don't even, might not even need it, but they get a rush when they steal things. Satan gets a rush every time he steals something from you. He gets excited when he steals something from you. And he might not even need it, but just to steal it makes him happy. The word kill means to sacrifice by fire. So he wants to steal from you. He might not even need it. He wants to sacrifice you on his fire. He wants you to be a sacrifice to his cause. You know, one of the hardest things, it's one thing if, Satan loves this. He loves it when he has Satan worshipers come in and try to disrupt things. But he likes even more is backsliders or Christians that aren't sold out, because they become his sacrifice on his altar. And although you may be Christian in name only, he's got you. I know we don't hear that a lot these days, and I'm getting ready to go into that, but that's the truth. I wouldn't lie to you. And he destroys us, Apollyon, the destroyer, to kill, steal, to destroy. Now we're going to go into the last ones. Remember, there's no neutral ground in this universe. Every square inch, every split second is claimed by God or counterclaimed by Satan. So let's look at his perverted nature. First, we talked about his desire to manipulate our mind. Then we talked about his destructive bent. Now, I want to camp out here for a minute, if I may. Y'all go ahead and say, let down the plow, Pastor. And I didn't hear enough of y'all say that. All right. You know, if I pull up this, the plow's coming out. Ready? I got to sit on my plow seat. One of the words for Satan is Beelzebub. Beelzebub initially was used by the Philistines. It means Lord of the Flies. They actually were describing the god of Ekron, Beelzebub, Lord of the Flies. But then the Hebrews got in on it, and they changed it from Beelzebub to Beelzebub, tomato, tomato. And that, listen carefully, I got to stand up on this one. It means Lord of the Dunghill. It means Lord. Get it, buddy. Let it rip. Help me out, bro. Nobody else is. You help me out. Go. Y'all get as excited about church as he is, man, we can have a ball in here. Of course, the content would help too, I think. It means the Lord of the manure pile. Good Lord, have mercy. Did you just say that, Pastor? Yes, I just said that, because that's what it means in the Hebrew. The Lord of the dunghill, the Lord of the outhouse, the Lord of the manure pile. Two powerful images. First, he's the Lord of demon spirits. That's his ID. The Lord of the spirits. He the head man. But now, him and his spirits are attracted to filth. That's his M.O. He doesn't like righteousness. Adversary means to go against everything that's right. He doesn't like righteousness, but not only does he not like righteousness, he loves to wallow in the manure pile. Look at the world we got going on now. Something I hear every day, and I promise you this is not a cuss word. I hear it all the time. Y'all might not have heard this. The world is going to crap. Heard it? I hear it all the time, especially when I'm in the detention centers. I hear it all the time.
crap is not a cuss word. Crap is actually short for crapper, which is the name of the man who invented the toilet, okay? So when you go take up, that's where crap come from, was from the man who invented the toilet, okay? It's his name. All right, I'll leave that one alone. Heated spirits are attracted to filth. Look at what's going on around us. Watch what's happening. Listen to what's being marched for. If it's got to do with God, if it's got to do with righteousness, we're violating somebody's rights. But if it's got to do with filth and craziness, manure pile, people stand and march for it. And they hold up their hands and say, go, 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 go. Tell me the world has not been hypnotized. I'm going to go to that in just a minute. By Satan. Attracted to filth. What is good now is being called evil. And what we once called evil, maybe even needed mental work, now is lifted up as something very powerful. My wife, I think it was one of the insurance forms she was filling out, wanted to know if she was a man, a woman, and then there was like four other things. A binary, non-binary, were you a... Oh, it went on down the line. Do you identify as a woman? Identify, I mean, it was just crazy. Went on down the line of all the things so they made sure that they didn't offend anybody. I looked there and said, well, there is the manure pile. I was standing at a ball game watching my granddaughter play, and all the girls had their hair done the same, pigtails down the side, down the back, both of them, both pigtails right down the side, down her back, and somebody asked which girl was doing what, and they all ran out on the field, and I said, I'm not sure because they all look the same from the backside. And I was rebuked at the ball field because I talked about some 10-year-old girls and their pigtails, and they said, you can't do this around here, sir. Really? Everywhere you go, I smell it. The manure pile. Because Satan, Beelzebub, is having his finest hour. So not only is it Beelzebub, but it's Belial. 1 Timothy 2:12, Eli's sons, they were stealing from God's people. They were just cutting up and helping people. You got enough money, I'll take care of you, whatever. They were just doing their thing. And God said, y'all were sons of Belial. And God took them out. And one day, they were fornicators. They were thieves. They were full of idolatry and rebellion. Turn on the TV, I dare you, and turn it to a Christian station and watch it for about 3 hours. And honestly, some of them I really believe ought to put up, come join us at my Belial place. Because give me your money. Do what you want to. Whatever you want to do, it's okay. God looks at you and goes, it's fine. Just keep sending in the money so I can get my jet fueled up. Belial is bad. And it keeps happening. And people keep giving into it because people want hope. And they're reaching for hope. And this is what they get. Some of this stuff is worthless. I know this. Y'all about to shout me down, I know. But I got to tell you the truth because we're talking about Satan. We're not talking about the little devil with the red, you know, like on the deviled ham commercial. No. We're talking about somebody that's mean. and ruthless and wants to take you down with him because he knows he's going. The next word, dragon, serpent. It's used in Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, and it says, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world." The whole world. "He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." It is a clear picture that the term Satan and serpent and dragon are all interchangeable. Why does he call him a serpent? Anybody ever been fishing and caught an eel? Did you have fun? When you catch an eel, I'd be out there oriental being fishing, and I threw out, crazy thing was one day my brothers were on the end of the pier, it looked like a T, out there in Oriental, my brother was on one side, Larry was on one side, Gary was on the other. They threw out. Larry says, "I got one," and he's bringing it in. This is God as my witness. He's reeling it in. And all of a sudden, he felt something funny. And now it starts to pull funny. So he keeps on reeling it in. My brother goes, "Oh, I got one." And he reels it in. And when they reeled it in, believe it or not, they caught the same fish. The same fish. You tell me that ain't awesome. But anybody ever caught an eel? You throw out and you think you've got something, and all of a sudden it goes. And then when you finally get it in, you watch it, and it's done spun around and spun around and spun around and spun around and got you a mess. Think about that as the serpent, as the dragon. He presents himself as deadly and poisonous, ready to strike and kill at any time. Satan has a twisted, demented, perverted nature. You talked about that family that was killed. In this day and time, when you say I'm a Christian, you automatically, in some circles, when you say I'm a Christian, you automatically have a target put on your back. So, the dragon. Next, the devil was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Get ready. The evil one. The evil one. The word evil one is in Matthew chapter 16, chapter 6, verse 13. In the Lord's Prayer, the Lord says, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." If you take that word evil and you break it down into Greek, what he is saying is deliver us, lead us not into temptation. Can you think about him thinking about himself being in the desert before he started his ministry for 40 days and 40 nights being tempted, and the last three great temptations at the end? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And then finally, for this group, somebody say glory. Murderer. We just read 8:44. The murderous nature of Satan was manifested in Genesis 4 and 8. When he inspired Cain to slay his brother Abel. Satan's murderous nature has also inspired Herod to kill all those baby boys looking for Jesus. And over the years, people have been killed for the name of Jesus, including those people. Killed for the name of Jesus. That's part of his nature. It's part of what he does.
Don't expect him to play different with you than he plays with everybody else. And then finally, the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. 2 Corinthians 4:4. You see these people holding up their hand? Watch the news. And watch how they celebrate stuff that God says is an abomination. Watch how they get mad when you hold up the Bible. I remember when I first started in B5, they told me now, I know this, I'm a chaplain. I tell my guys this, we all know this. A chaplain is a lot different than saying your pastor's coming in. Your pastor comes in, he's treating you as one of the flock. But a chaplain has a bigger flock. And a chaplain at a hospital has to minister to everybody. I've ministered to Buddhists. I've ministered to Catholics. I've ministered even to atheists. You heard about that atheist that was in the coffin, getting ready to bury him, and one guy walked up to him and looked at him and said, how about that? All dressed up and no place to go. It's okay to laugh. I remember one day when I was in Dunn, there was somebody down on all four floors. You know, I was on call. So I got called in. I was ministering to four people at the same time. I was there for like 8 hours. And as these people were dying, I would minister to the family. And I would keep checking on them all the way through. I'm going up and down, up and down. Somebody was coming through Dunn, and a man, a wife, and she had a heart attack. He pulls in. They're working on her, and they say that it's not going to work. She's going to die. So I'm there talking to him. He says, I'm Catholic. Can you please get me a Catholic priest? I said, sure. So I call the monastery, whatever you call the place, the Catholic church. And the priest came. And the priest came. And it was really kind of wild because this priest looked like a surfer dude. I mean, he had blonde hair and it was all flowing back. And he sat down. He was talking and his hair was all going, wow, that's the most different priest I ever seen. And I sat down beside him. I said, hey, Father. He said, don't call me Father. Call me Trent. I said, well, okay, Trent. I said, you don't look like a priest I've ever seen. He said, well, dude, I was a Baptist preacher. He said, but I found a better way. And I went, okay. And then he told me this. He said, I've already given the divine unction. It used to be last rites. I've given the divine unction. He says, so when she dies, I've already done all I'm going to do. When she dies, she's yours. Don't call me. And I was blown away. I said, man, you live a couple blocks down the road. He said, don't you hear me? Don't call me. I've done what I got to do. It's over. She died about 3 hours later. Do you know who spent the next 2 hours with her family? But at that moment, they didn't care that I was not a Catholic priest. Because I was representing Jesus. The world is in a frenzy. I was at B5, very first group. And the very second or third week, I get called into office. The coordinator says, hey, buddy, we got a little problem. I said, what kind of problem we got, man? He said, there's a guy in there says you ain't ministering to him. I said, that ain't a problem. Is he Jehovah's Witness? He said, nope. I just used the Old Testament. Is he Jehovah's Witness? Is he Muslim? Use the Old Testament. Nope. I said, well, what is he? He said, he's a Satanist. I said, don't worry. God's got this. Satanists are all about themselves. And so I said, you know what? I got this. I carried him in. I talked to him and I said, we're going to find something you like, and we're going to do something that you like, but we're going to talk about God, but we're going to do something you like. You just watch this. Just give me a couple of weeks and watch what happens. I said, God sick him. He was from California. He was from a gang. They had committed murder. He was on the way to prison. He told me he killed multiple guys. I'm in this little room with him all by ourselves.
And I kept saying, God, sick him. Holy Spirit, get a hold of him. About the third or fourth week, he said, can I go in that little room and talk to you? The box? I said, sure. And he said, there's something different about you. I said, my wife said the same thing. My mama said the same thing. He said, no, man, there's something different about you. He said, there's a certain glow. And he says, I really would rather have that than this mess I had from this gang, this cartel that I was in. I said, I'm born of Jesus. I'm born again. I've got a new life in me. All my sins have been forgiven. It's not held over my head anymore. And he says, that's what I want. And in that little room, that Satanist accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Go ahead, give the Lord a hand clap. That's a good thing. Let me hear a war cry. Yes! Glory! He left about 6 weeks later, and before he left, he said, can I go back in the room with you? I said, come on back in the room with me. He said, can you do me a favor? He said, what? I said, what? He said, when I come back, can I look you up? I said, sure, what do you want? He said, I need you to help me. He said, because I really feel God calling me to preach his word. I said, son, when you get out, you come see me, and I'll talk to you. Ain't God good? All the time, God is good. But the people nowadays, they're going crazy. Watch this. Here's why. Satan's desire to control, 2 Corinthians 4:4, calls him the God of this world. We just saw it, the God of this world. That word God means deity, magistrate, the one in charge, the one that judges the world. That world does not mean the earth. It means the age. The age. So he is the God of this age. But it's a temporal control. Jesus, 40 days and 40 nights in the desert. And that last day, when Satan takes him and shows him all the kingdoms, said, they'll all be yours if you just worship me. He recognized his stuff was temporal. He knew that what he had was real and was going to last. So the God of this world, that's why this place is going crazy. Because the control is being given to him because Jesus is being shut down. Then the prince of this world, John 16:11. Jesus said, I'm going away, and the prince of the world is going to be taken over, but don't you worry about it because he's not going to win. That word prince means the one who holds first place. He's the prince of demons. And listen carefully to this. He's the prince of the power of the air. Paul said there was three heavens. And that when he was, actually it was when he was stoned, they believe, and left for dead, was when he saw all three heavens. The first, do this, go. You just breathe there from the first heaven. The second heaven, that's where the astronauts go. And the third heaven, it's a great expanse. And the third heavens where God dwells. He's the prince of the power of this air. I was in Walmart, carrying my granddaughter to Walmart the other day, and a guy come by, and I could hear. Before he got there, I was hearing boom, 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 boom. And then I heard his trunk lid going, because it was just about to. I started to feel like the coyote when he ate those earthquake pills. I started. And he rode by like this. And the music was so offensive. because he used some words that I would not like anybody to use, but especially be used in front of my granddaughter. And then talked about what he was going to do with a woman in this song. I told my granddaughter, I said, don't listen to that mess. That's not a one-time occurrence. It happens all the time. Why does it happen all the time? Because Satan has been given authority over this. Not the church. I'm talking about this air, this space. And that's why he has polluted the radio, polluted video, whatever. He's polluted it because he's the prince with the authority over all this. And as time goes by, you hear it more and more and more. You go in a store and all of a sudden you hear people talking, and they're talking so vulgar. And some of them are acting like they're rappers when they're talking. And they're doing this while they're trying to talk. And I'm going, I can't even keep up with you because I'm busy getting hypnotized by you. I almost got in a fight one day. But believe it or not, good sense finally hit me. Guy was walking with his pants hung down. See, the plumber's pants is right here. But that wrapping pants is down here. Down here. I watched a guy walk across the parking lot carrying a TV. And he had both hands up, and his pants were already down to here. And I watched him. And he had about from here to that back door to get to his car. And he's got a TV on his hands. And he's already doing this. And I watched his pants go further and further and further down. And I said, I'm not going to take that TV from him. I'm not even going to pull his pants up. I'm just going to sit here and laugh. He took about three more steps and his pants hit the ground. Then he ran to the car like this. The prince of the power of the air is influencing minds like never before. So, I know I'm getting way out there. I'm going to stop. Almost going to stop. The preaching of the cross. I'm talking good stuff. Now, are we ready for some good stuff? Y'all say we're ready for some good stuff. Good stuff. Good stuff. Great stuff. Tough stuff. All right. The preaching of the cross is a whip that flogs the devil. The preaching of Christ is the thunderbolt, the sound of which makes hell shake. Wow. That's why Satan has shut it down. The prince of the power of the air is trying to shut it down. The preaching of Christ is a whip that flogs the devil. The preaching of Christ is the thunderbolt, the sound of which makes hell shake. Oh, I never finished my other story. I come by one guy and his pants were down like this. He was having to walk like this. But he looked at me, and I just happened to watch him go by, and I went. And he went. Got a problem? I thought to myself, no, but you got one, bruh. And I almost said it, and good sense hit me. I said, you know what that is, don't you? I said, in prison, that's actually a sign that you're available. And good sense hit me. I said, you know what that's a sign of, don't you? And he said, what? I said, I'm not sure, and I walked off. I said, no, I ain't going to start a fight today. I knew I was going to start a fight. All right, so here. Here's what we've got. We just talked about Satan. We finished all his names. We talked about what Satan's got. Let's talk about what we got. Now, I want y'all to help me with it, right? Y'all say it with me. I'm going to say it first, and we're going to say it together. We do have, I'm going to say all three of them, then we're going to say them together. We do have more authority than Satan wants you to know.
We have more power than Satan wants you to know, because the greater one is living in us. Let's say it together. We have more authority than Satan wants us to know. We have more power than Satan wants us to know, because the greater one is living in us. Give the Lord a hand clap. The Church of Christ, Jesus Christ, is loaded. Listen carefully. Listen to me. Especially in this day and time when the prince of the power of the air knows his time is drawing short. The God of this world knows that he's only got a lease, and the lease is going up. The Church of Jesus Christ is loaded with heaps and heaps of raw power. Did you know that? We've got so much power available to us. Listen. But that power can be disrupted. It can be disconnected. It can be disjointed. When we lack, watch it, discipline, organization, or commitment. Wow. Wow. Satan does not want you to think you can change. He will try to convince you that all is lost. And that's a lie. You can return, you can repent, you can be pure and holy because the Savior's infinite atonement. Watch this. The devil knows your name, but he calls you by your sin. God knows your sins, but he calls you by your name. Getting ready to close. Brandon, come on, get ready to play something, bro. Satan says, you have disappointed God too many times, just give up. God says, I know everything you would do before you're ever born, and I still called you. I'm not finished with you yet. You don't have to listen to the lies of Satan. You don't have to lay down and hope for the best. I've heard that so many times. I'm just hoping for the best. I'm just hoping for the best. Get up and do something. Don't just lay there and take it. Get up and do something. You are not helpless. You are not hopeless. You are not without weapons. You are not without power. You are not without victory. I want everybody to stand up right now, and we're going to give it. Once I get it going, I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. We're getting ready to do something very powerful. Everybody stand up. You're not helpless, you're not hopeless, you're not without weapons, you're not without power, you're not without victory. The cross of Jesus Christ provides all that we need. Now, I'm getting ready to ask you to do some war cries, but here's what we're going to do. Our first war cry is going to be, thank you, Jesus. Take as long as we need, but our first war cry, I just want you to thank him. Thank you, Jesus. Ready? One, two, three. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to the Lamb of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Glory! The next is I want you just to praise his name. Just go, not just thank you, now say praise you, Jesus. Ready? Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Savior. Glory! Next, we're going to thank him for his grace and his mercy that endures forever. Ready? Thank you for your grace and your mercy, which endureth forever. Glory! And then finally, I want you to thank him that he wants to use. Here's what I want you to say. I want you to thank him because he wants to use me. You, not me. I want you to say, thank you, God, because you want to use me all the way. No matter what I've done, you want to use me. Ready? Glory, thank you, God, that you want to use me. Glory, glory, thank you, God. Glory. And no matter how far you've gone, God still wants to use you. Don't let the God of this world, don't let the God Belial lie to you, the murderer, lie to you and tell you you cannot be used by God. God uses those that will let him. The worst guy in B5, right to start with, he was so mean, he scared me. He scared me for the first 4 weeks. He scared me. I'm thinking, this guy here's got a fuse about that short. And half of us already cut off. I kept watching him to make sure he wasn't going to flip out. That same guy has been to this church 4 or 5 times. He hated the law. He'd been shot by the law. His hand was like this because of the law. It shot him in the arm. Heavily into drugs. He's been in this church 4 or 5 times. He goes all over this state praising God and talking about God's power and God's anointing, how God wants to use him to help other drug addicts, NA and AA. He's been used in both of those places to help all these people. Now he's sponsoring guys after guys after guys and helping them find there is a way out. Don't think you've gone too far that God can't use you. Ask Kevin. He'll tell you. He's been here. He'll tell you. God uses him all the time. God wants to use us. Glory! Glory! Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today, I pray that God, in the last 2 weeks, has opened your eyes to the tactics of the devil. And I hope God has supercharged you like he's done my little brother Walter over there, supercharged you. Get it, Walter. Get it, son. You may be here this morning and you think that you've done too much. You've gone too far. You're listening to that lies of the devil as he's punching you and punching you and punching you, trying to penetrate that wall. And there's been times he did penetrate the wall, and the tempter became your accuser. And now you feel like you've been whooped and left on the side of the road. God wants to use you. You've got a story to tell that nobody else has got. God wants to use you. On the cross, after they took Jesus down, the first thing he did was he went down into hell and preached. Those that were in Abraham's bosom, he carried. He led captivity captive. Those that were not in Abraham's bosom, he told them, I'm the one y'all were supposed to be looking for, and you didn't, and so that's why you're down here. So hell enlarged itself, and he took those guys to heaven because the blood had been shed. So first, Jesus went down, and then Jesus went up. And when Jesus went up, the Holy Spirit came down. When the Holy Spirit came down, the church went out. And that's what we're supposed to be doing today, is get out and let the world know that God is here. God is real. This is the new revival that's been talking about. It's not some of that crazy mess. This is the revival that God is talking about in this last day, is bringing God back to the people. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, but nobody looking around, I'm not going to call you out, I'm not going to call you down here. All I need you to do is raise that hand. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, every eye closed, every head bowed, nobody looking around. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, but would like to, would you put that hand up? Just put that hand up. Glory, 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 glory. Maybe you're here today and you listened to the lies of the devil, that you were not good enough, that you've gone too far, that you can never come back. And now you're way, way, way out there, too far away. You can't even hear God anymore because you've gone so far the other way. and you're needing to rededicate that life to God, you need to, one more time, get up and get to that cross and rededicate your life. Nobody's looking around, every eye's closed, every head bowed. Would you put that hand up? I need to rededicate myself. Glory, glory, glory. Maybe you're here today and the enemy of your soul has conducted warfare and has got you believing that you're not good enough, that you'll never be good enough, that you don't have the weapons that you need, that your past is too heavy. And you're needing God just to reassure you as you stand to make a difference. I'm talking to you, put that hand up. Put that hand up. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them. Let's pray together. Father, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, for saving me. I give it all to you. It's yours. Father, I'm yours. I thank you, God. I confess my sins. I believe in my heart. And I confess with my mouth that you are Lord. And I thank you, God, for saving me, for rededicating me, for drawing me closer. In the name of Jesus. This day, life will never be the same. Because I know that God's got something for me. And I thank him for that. Father, I surrender all. Thank you for my salvation. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. I looked at this finger, and I know y'all can't see it, but it's got a little discoloration. This finger's been playing the bass for how long, got all kinds of calluses on it. Bass don't mess it up. But a couple nights ago, I was cooking, and I grabbed a hot plate. Some of the smart things we do. And I got this finger. So although it was calloused, once I got a hold of the hot coal, it got tender again. Some of y'all in here has had a hard, calloused heart. But you got a chance to be exposed to the flame, to the fire. And God's taken that hard, calloused heart and has made it tender again. Take advantage of this. Don't let it go. Don't leave it behind you. Don't say, well, that was just an awesome service, and I'm glad, and I'll see him next year. No. Use it. Let God use you, because honestly, the way things are looking, we might not even be here next year. We could be gone. Whether you believe in pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib, either way, when the rapture takes place, we can argue on the way up. God's got this. We're going to say the Lord's Prayer. When we get to the Lord's Prayer, I'm going to ask Wayne to dismiss us in prayer. Ready? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation.